This is a shiur describing Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman, part of a series describing the life and the brutal murder of the 10 martyrs, about whom we read about on Yom Kippur as well as Tisha B'Av, who were brutally murdered by the Romans in a roughly 60 to 65 year span between the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash around 70 AD and the Bar Kokhba rebellion in the 130-132, the next century. This is number 7 in a 10-part series, and it discusses Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman. We don't know that much about his life. We know a lot about his death. The details of his death are gory and grotesque and tragic. Evidently, of course, by his name, he was a Meturgeman. Not to be confused with the Targum role of Targum Onkelos, which was given in Har Sinai and restored during the days of Ezra, the notion that Torah is read in its immutable divine word, and then it is rendered in a different language, in this case given in Har Sinai, Targum Onkelos, recognizing that for some, and it's for some Jews at different stages of history, unfortunately Hebrew will not be as legible or comprehensible as other languages. And certainly Ezra was facing this challenge when he returned from Babel. On many fronts, he was facing this challenge. But evidently, that structure, or that methodology for conveying Torah, adhered, and it started to express itself in other areas of Torah conveyance. So, for example, Rabbi Gamliel appointed Chutzpis HaMeturgeman, Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman, as his mitargem, but of course he wasn't relaying Torah Shebichsav. Rabbi Gamliel was describing a Mishnah or a Gemara, and Rabbi Chutzpis was elaborating, perhaps in the days before amplified voice and microphones, he had a louder voice, perhaps his speech, his diction, his word choices were more, if not elegant, at least more effective in education and in pedagogy. And it's an interesting setup that Rabbi Gamliel gives a shiur, but Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman explains it to the masses. There's an interesting medrash which likens Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman to Yonasan ben Uziel, who also wrote Tirgumim. But of course, Yonasan ben Uziel was writing on Torah Shebichsav, and Rabbi Chutzpis HaMeturgeman was conveying Torah Shebaal Peh. But at least this medrash identifies that the function of one yielded the emergence and the utility of the other. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Chutzpis is presented as not just conveying Torah in a more elegant or mellifluous fashion, but he also elaborates logically. So he gets up in one of the midrashim and he gives the classic 49 ways to develop an idea. In this case, the Medrash talks about 180 ways to develop that something would be tamei, and then 180 ways to invert it and to develop an idea that it would be tar. So he's not just a mouthpiece. He's not just someone who's more verbally and pedagogically gifted, but he also understands Torah very deeply. Of course, he's able to convey it in a very, very elegant fashion. Rabbi Akiva applies the pasuk, Yaf Yafis Mibnei Adam, Hutzach Chein B'Sifsosecha, especially the end of that pasuk in Tehillim Perek Memhei, Hutzach Chein B'Sifsotecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed charm in your lips, in your ability to speak. Now, he isn't quoted by the Gemara that often, by the Mishnayos that often. Interestingly enough, this may be due to the fact that as opposed to the other Asara Haruge Malchus, who were killed individually, and in some cases with their students witnessing them, Rabbi Chutzpis was hiding in a cave and in the north. Remember, again, a lot of Chazal fled to the north. And when he's found and discovered, he's discovered with his Talmidim. And in that moment, they are killed first, and then he is killed. And perhaps this is part of the reason that we don't have that much Torah in his name, Because even though some of the other martyrs died, their Talmidim survived them, especially in the case of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and they were able to relay their Torah. In the case of Rabbi Chutzpah HaMeturgeman, his Torah never survived this onslaught. Now, it could also be that he was so invested in sharing the Torah of Rabbi Gamliel and other people whom he may have served as a Meturgam, that he, so to speak, sublimated his own creativity in order to deliver other people's Torah with the loquaciousness and the elegance of his speech and his conversation. And that may be the irony of the Medrash highlighting how adroit he was intellectually at flexing different hasugyos in many creative ways, but despite that creativity, he subjected himself to a different task and towards spreading the Torah of his Rebbes. So it's interesting that much of his Torah doesn't survive, either because he's murdered along with his students, and or because he chooses a different path that's more in tune with the talents that Kadosh Baruch Hu gifted to him. Now, of course, he's killed in a very brutal fashion. It's not clear how he's killed. His Talmidim were killed before him. Actually, he's killed. He's stoned. He's stoned and his body is hung up. Body's hung. So we don't have too many other Harugi Machos who are stoned. He does engage in a very interesting conversation with the Caesar, the Roman Caesar Andrianus. And it's the typical stuff about HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking revenge, and at some point this Caesar loses patience and impetuously kills him. But what's interesting is that Rabbi Chutzpah is about 130 years minus a day. And he's a very, very handsome person. And they report this to the king, and Rabbi Chutzpah is asked by the Caesar, not the king, he says, "How old are you?" And he says, "I'm 130 minus a day. I want one more day." So he wants one more day. At which point, the Caesar tells him, "What difference does it make to you?" And he's expecting probably to hear that he's got some affairs to put in order, saying goodbye to his family as a justification for granting him the extra day. And Rabbi Chutzpah says, "I want to say Kriya Shema once more, once in the morning and once in the evening." And the Caesar is just so appalled by his audacity, and certainly as the Caesar sees it in light of the futility of his position, he's about to be murdered, why do you still rely on this God? I think there's also something about this Medrash that the Caesar just couldn't understand the simple act of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. He was expecting some more grandiose presentation of religion or expression of religion rather than just being Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, or perhaps he was expecting Rabbi Chutzpah to be involved in something completely unrelated to religion. But it certainly teed him off and irritated him so that he murdered Rabbi Chutzpah sooner than he would have otherwise murdered him. There's a tragic conclusion to Rabbi Chutzpah's murder, in which Elisha ben Avuya, and you remember Rabbi Chutzpah is living around the time of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, around the time of Rabbi Akiva, and since Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Meir's Rebbe, we have to assume that Elisha ben Avuya, who we know as Acher, is also living around that time. And he sees the tongue of Rabbi Chutzpah HaMeturgeman rolling around in the garbage, or being dragged by something, and he just can't understand how a tongue that was so adept and so eloquent could now be exposed to such disgusting and repulsive treatment. And this is what leads him astray and causes a crisis of confidence, and ultimately converts Elisha ben Avuya into the well-known heretic known as Acher. So it's interesting that this is a very theologically charged period, and there are conversations between some of the Harugei Malchus and their Roman counterparts about religion. And of course, even Jews aren't spared this issue. And at least one Jew, when he faces the horrors of this Churban, of this destruction of the Jewish leadership, he can't compute it and he can't calculate it, and it leads him to blasphemy, or at least to heresy.